Hello, welcome to the Candid Cast. We are continuing our Zero to Hero series. And I'm continuing my discussion with my friend, my brother, the founder of Lapo Microfinance, the foremost microfinance organization in Nigeria that has stood the test of time. And it has maintained its vision, its focus. It's not among those who have turned microfinance to revenue collection with POS in every center, but that microcredit scheme that started it has sustained it and is still running. It has so much to teach us about focus, about determination, about knowing what you want. It's a privilege to have in the studio Dr. Godwin Ehigamo, sir. You are welcome, sir.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much.
So we have been having this discussion running. One of the areas I want you to enlighten us is how to deal that everybody today is a graduate. So how do you deal with workers with over 10,000 staff in your employment? You would have had this experience for others to leverage on. People who come with so much qualification but little delivery.
Yeah.
How do we handle
it? Yeah, it is common. Not even those with just huge qualification, but also those that also perform exceptionally well during interview.
Yeah.
And then you eventually see that not much is delivering. I think the HRO practitioner will refer to those cases like what they call PR, previously unidentified recruitment error. You know, so you didn't, you know, that you find that coming in. So when you have them in your hands, you do some training. I think that is important. Even when you say, okay, fine, these guys may not be meeting the expectations, but maybe with some training with your son, that could help. But once that, in addition to that, you need to come up with a very, very clear appraiser template. You know, clarifying that, and these are the expectations. And of course, those expectations, that appraiser will be time-bound, you know, frame. There will be time frame for delivery. And eventually, if that employee is unable to meet those expectations, your business is not a rehabilitation center. It is purely to be business, to be able to deliver.
Yeah.
And so the next step for the interest of yourself or the business and the interest of the employee, fire the person.
Thank you very much. When you say fire for his own interest,
yeah,
every employee wants to retain his job.
Yeah.
So what good comes to an employee that is fired?
Yeah, many people obviously do not clearly understand and appreciate or be conscious of their shortcomings. So when you pass through that process that look unpleasant, that unpleasant process could actually open your eye to certain things. I had a case like that, but this may be slightly different, but it's within the same context. I had a driver. I knew him quite early when I was in school, so I took him on. He had a very poor attitude. This was not about not being able to drive,
yeah,
but, you know, attitude that we also, you know, affecting his performance. And I tried to do everything I could do, maybe largely because of that earlier relationship and all that. So when he did something that was a bit very tough for me to accept, and I fired him. So 2 years later, I met him at, I was coming from Abuja. I went to a motor, this motor company from Benin. So I met him. He was a driver for that company.
Okay.
So after I paid, he greeted me so well and took me to a corner of the other scene, and his boss, he just started crying. and say, he was crying, sir, please, I want to, if you can. I was so emotional. He was saying, oh, for instance, driving that what he's doing, he never had a weekend that he would have in Lapo. You know, Saturday, Sunday, and all that. And he was weeping. And then, so eventually, I took him on. Believe me, he became the best staff we ever had.
After learning.
Yeah, after learning. So that is why it could be helpful to fire.
Thank you very much. This is quite instructive. I have learned today that somebody can be fired for his own good.
Yeah.
And a good example has come out of it. We hear people say good old days.
Mm.
And when we are talking of zero to hero, we were down before, we are up today because we did this, we did that.
Mm.
Some young person will say, because the country was good in your own time, how do we relate to such assertion that it was good in your own time, today it is bad?
Mm. Okay, I think about the issue of when you look back is relative. The truth is this, that in every generation, there's always this thinking that the previous generation probably was easier and in some cases better, you know, better, easier and that. So in our own time when I started, we were also very conscious of the fact that things were difficult. Okay, for instance, you have the SAP, implementation of SAP and all that. So when we look back to 1960s, you know, and all that was, oh, things were very easy and all that. So today, that is what it is. And I can assure you that in the next generation, they will look at today as probably also better. So it does not matter. What matter, I think, in every situation you are, in fact, look clearly for opportunities. And I tell people that even in our difficulties today, Nigeria perhaps is the only country where you can literally close your eyes and you still see opportunities. So look at those opportunities. Look at also the challenges you have today and see how you can deal with them. Of course, it is dealing with some of this wahala, if I call it that way, that actually make your business to grow out of it. I tell people clearly that if I have set up Lift Above Poverty Organization in 1974, 70, it would have not been successful. Why? 73, 74, we have the Doji Award. We oil boom. Everybody was enjoying. In fact, many Nigerians could have never seen the word poverty. They could not even spell poverty. But it was when the SAP came, and then everything became very difficult, that I strongly feel that my response to this, why everybody is lamenting, my response to it is to provide poor people the facility to deal with the situation. So even today, there are opportunities.
Thank you very much. Every problem is wrapped. Is opportunity that is wrapped.
Of course, so that's what it is.
Just unwrap the problem, and you find opportunities hidden inside.
So you require two things. Yeah. The first is to have a courage and this to do it. Yeah. The second thing is to be persistent, because wrapping problem to see the knot, the seed
inside
of opportunity is does not come easy.
Mm-hmm. It's like the sweetness of honey.
Yeah, of course.
So
of course.
You have to pass through the bees.
Yeah, before
honey is sweet, but you go through the bees to get it. Thank you very much. There's another very instructive one. The people also say that it's not new anyway. Mm. When in 1903, the registrar of patents in U.S. said that there is nothing to register again, that every invention that will be made has been made.
Yes.
So people are still looking at that there is nothing new under heaven. Mm. That everything that will be discovered has been discovered. Yeah. So opportunities are thinning out. Do you agree with that position?
I think it's the reverse is the case. Yeah. You know, when you have challenges as we have now, then you have, like we have said, you have, you know, opportunities coming in. So the good thing is about is that we are in an era of innovation. You know, things, good things are coming up. Just as you said, somebody told me that, he said when television was discovered, and you know, when they invented this television, always say to them, people look at it and say, this is the end of invention. So, but it was not there. So what I did is that this is the era of invention. So there are so many things that are being, you know, done. I think what I will cancel again is this. Let people develop a mindset that there is something to, there's something there to be done. The big billionaires we have today are not going to be end of the billionaires in Nigeria. There'll be another generation. So those things will come from in innovation. Let's have the mindset that I can do something, I can uncover things, rather than the mindset of lamentation. Okay? So I would therefore say that the problem I have, I see young people, is that they come up with idea, they address those issues, they address those ideas with the very half-heartedly.
Okay.
And so, and if it fails, if there's no, they move away to another person. I have a young person who I've been trying to support, and he's brilliant. He comes out with a new thing. Before he actualized, he gets out with a new thing. Come with it. So he got to a point that I said, no, you're not going to that get that. So there's so much to be done. And my advice is that simple. Focus on, identify those challenges. Focus on them. Hold on to them. And you will see results.
Thank you, sir. Let's talk about the scaling up of businesses.
Yeah.
It is not customary in Africa to scale up business, because most of our businesses are driven by our desire for food. So once you get enough food to eat, people say, what are you looking for again? Because I remember those days, if a Christian who has a small shop opens a second one, they say greed is pushing him. He has backslided. So the gospel of expanding business, scaling up, what drives it?
Well, there's this issue. There are actually two types of people who are managing businesses. You have the small business owner. I used to go, I give an example. In my primary school, we have an old man who was selling books, pencil and all that. So I grew up to see him selling that, and also he was start selling that. That's a small business person. So at times some people expand a little, get a pickup, build a house, and then train the children and that's all. The second one is the entrepreneur, who is actually believing that small is beautiful, but big is valuable. Okay? So their expectation is to see, I want to. So there are some factors, again, that will flesh that. It can come from your environment, where everybody tends to be very satisfied with what they're doing. It can actually come from your exposure, you know, that, and it can also come from your capacity, because it is one thing at times you desire to be big, but you don't have the capacity to be able to do that. But the challenge we have in this country today is that almost every house in our commercial center has a business. So but what we lack is business that scale up. It's a case of savanna. You see all the grass, shrubs, small shrubs, and you see some single tree, few trees growing up. I think that's what we have in this country. But the truth is this, It is only a scale-up business that can make, that can create value. It creates value for itself. The first beneficiary of a big business is the business itself. How? During the COVID, during the cash crunch, these businesses were able to survive. So that is number one. Number two, it creates value for the owner. I think that is obvious in terms of that. Number three, it creates value for the society by way of creating jobs and also making contribution to the national budget through taxation. So the desire of every nation should be, let's have businesses that are big.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your coming around today to enlighten us on the Candid Cast. Your time, I know you are a very busy person. It's a lot of sacrifice to have been with us
thank you.
Today. And for our audience, this is where we draw the curtain. If you have not subscribed, please subscribe to the Candid Cast and do click the notification button so you get to know when new videos are published, and also share, publicize it among your area of influence. Thank you. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for more exciting episodes ahead.
We appreciate your support and can't wait to share more insights with you soon.